This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, 20th of March, 2018. My name's Patrick Smith. A disappointing week, or a disappointing weekend for the Belfast Giants. Two losses at the SSE Arena, one of which a great performance, the other of which not so good. We go forward now into three games left in the season, one coming up on Wednesday, two at the weekend. Call them what you want, a build-up to the playoffs, a pre-post season, or dead rubbers. It's up to you. But we've got plenty to talk about regardless. We're going to hear from Jim Vandermeer and Adam Keefe. Simon's been down to train and talk to them. The lads have also just had a quick chat with Mark Garside, which we'll bring you later in the show. Speaking of which, Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Not too bad, Paddy.
And Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
You know what? I was sitting thinking earlier on about how quickly the season's gone.
Yep.
There's only three games left in the regular season and potentially four for the playoffs. It's absolutely flowing in. But to answer your question, I'm dead on.
How was last night?
Last night was brilliant, mate. It was a really good show. We obviously showed the whole of the Devils game, but we condensed it and cut all the chat in between plays and obviously in between whistles, sorry. So we cut it right down. There was the documentary. Was the feedback we got on it was absolutely... Even Adam came over to me this morning when I seen it, or when I seen him in training, and he says, really, really enjoyed that. Thought it was excellent, really well put together. There's no point in telling me. It was all about Neil and Johnny. They did a brilliant job with it. And there's been a lot of requests today regarding can people see it? Can people buy a DVD or Blu-ray? So they're looking into all the eventualities at the minute, and hopefully news coming out soon.
Oh, we'll keep an ear to the ground on that, and I know those lads do fantastic work. Let's bat our head, boys. We've got two games to talk about from the weekend, neither of which was a victory, but two contrasting performances. We'll start off with Friday night's game, March the 16th, against the Cardiff Devils. The Cardiff Devils win this game 3-2 and subsequently lift both the league and the Erhard Conference titles. The scoring was opened by Colin Shields 13-22 into the first before Joey Martin, just a little over 30 seconds later, levelled it up. In the second period, Matt Pope unassisted scored before Spiro Galakos kept it back to 2-2 for that period of the end. Now, the third period was a real battle. Unfortunately, it ended with Brendan Connolly taking a cross-checking penalty and Andrew Hotham scoring with 20 seconds left on the clock, which lifted the Elite League title for the Cardiff Devils, a 3-2 victory in regulation for them. In goals, Ben Bounds for the Cardiff Devils, 41 shots, 39 saves. At the other side, Chris Trill with a fantastic performance, 41 shots, 38 saves. Your referees on the night, were Tom Darnell and Stefan Hogarth. Davey, I'll start with you on this one. I thought that was a fantastic game of hockey.
Yeah, tremendously disappointing way to lose it, I suppose, with that power play goal with just a few seconds left on the clock, as you've already said there as well. I think both goaltenders truly played very well. I think Bouncy played pretty well for them as well. And slugfest, again, of the, you know, people can argue with me if they want. I think the Cardiff Devils and the Belfast Giants have been the best two teams in the league this season. The games that we've played against them have been like this at times, just like two heavyweight boxers just going at each other constantly and neither side really breaking. And unfortunately for us, that sort of discipline or that little lack of it just at that last minute where the call goes against you. You know, Cons gives the referees a decision to make. You know, he engages in that bit of cross-checking and I can see why it's called, but I also think that there was worse checks from behind not called earlier in the game. But, you know, the one against Curtsy stands out like a sore thumb and not one that, you know me, I'm always the one that's sort of sticking up for the officials. I thought on the night, poor enough, I think that they missed a lot. They called some things that were pretty weak calls. And, you know, effectively, they had a very, very big say. 20 seconds to go in the game. There was periods of that game where the whistles were in their pocket. 20 seconds to go, you don't make that call. It's just a bit of a challenge. Two guys, one guy trying to go to the net, one guy trying to stop him. And there's not an awful lot in it for me to... But as I say, Cons makes them make the decision. Very, very good power play with the Cardiff Devils. And they... fortunately, we missed a couple of assignments on that. And, you know, he gets in a wee bit easy on Trulli, and I felt really sorry for him in his post-match interview. You know, he took a lot of the blame on that on a personal level, and, you know, not for me.
I think I was uncalled for. I don't think he was to blame.
I thought he had a really good game, possibly even his best game for the club on Saturday night or Friday night. But unfortunately for him, and unfortunately for the Belfast Giants, we've came up just short. And I suppose that's a microcosm, Paddy, of the whole season there. You know, I think our last 20 games, I think we've only won 9 of our last 20 games. So, like, we've really fell apart since the middle of... No, not fell apart. We haven't been consistent enough since the middle of January. And, you know, you look at how key losing Jim Vandermeer down that stretch has been, and just even just for his calm and influence on the ice, for his positional play, for how he tells other players to play the game and where to be on the ice. You know, so Big Jimbo coming back is going to be a massive fillet to us going forward. But, you know, on the night I was really, really disappointed because obviously didn't want the Cardiff Devils to take that championship on home ice. But just sometimes those things go against you. And unfortunately, Friday night was one of those nights.
We'll be hearing from Jim Vandermeer later in the show. Says, you know, as Davey said, you know, it was one of those nights on Friday night. And he picks up that key decision in the last couple of minutes or last minute of the game that allowed Andrew Hotham to score the goal. But coming back to the game as a whole, you know, why is it, do you think, that these two teams, Cardiff and Belfast, over the course of the season have had such great battles and have had such high quality performances?
Because they're two really good teams. They're really set up. They just play well against each other most of the time. And, you know, it's been more or less been a goal a game that's won it, whether it's went the overtime or a shootout, apart from the 6-2 loss to them. And then obviously we beat them in the Challenge Cup 6-3. I think, I was trying to total it up earlier on, I think it's 25-24 on the goals mark this season against them. You know, we've played them 8 times, we've beat them 4, they've beat us 4, and we've got the one more game next weekend. You know, they just match up really well against each other too. I absolutely agree with both of you. So I think it's the two best teams in the league. I know Manchester sitting second, but I know Manchester sitting second, but, you know, for me, the Giants and Cardiff Devils are definitely the two best to watch teams. And that, I mean, I absolutely agree with you, Paddy. I thought Friday night's game was brilliant. It was for a spectacle for British ice hockey. If you put that on a DVD to sell it, it would sell, definitely 100% sell. It was absolutely outstanding. It had everything. You know, there was everybody was. I mean, there they Bouncy played really well. It was an unbelievable save he pulled off in the first period, which he'd no right to do. We absolutely, you know, played fantastically well in the first period. You know, got the early goal, got the goal halfway through the first, and again. One of those things that we've done this year, we sort of take our finger off the pulse. We try and either, you know, relax and let somebody react very quickly, which the Devils did, or we try and go forward again and try and get another goal immediately, instead of, you know, just take your time. The next shift, let's be make sure they don't score in the next shift, which they, you know, it was a 2-on-1 old man rush and Trulli didn't really have a chance. And I thought that was probably his best game for us as well. I thought he was excellent. But, fantastic game of hockey. Devils again. I had to congratulate them straight after the game, which was tough. I mean, that was really tough. But they've been the best team in the league again this year. You know, our matchups against them have been outstanding, as we've already said. You know, we lost our chance for pushing for the title against the with the greatest respect, the lower teams. You know, Edinburgh's beat us. Manchester playing second, but Milton Keynes. Dundee, Brayhead, they've all beat us at least once. And that's where we've lost this league. And that's one of the ones where, is it a mental thing? If it is, then it's one of those things that Adam, as I say, he's a developing coach, he's a learning coach. I think he'll be much better at a game next year and the way he comes across and build up for games against the lower teams. But thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a brilliant match. And as I say, congratulations to the Cardiff Devils.
Cardiff picked up that title on SSE Arena Ice, brought it back to a rousing reception at Cardiff Airport. Davey, are they worth the title?
Yeah, because I think It's silly to say the team with the most points deserves the title. But yes, I think consistency over the course of the season, the way they're built, they built off the success of last season. They're well organised on and off the ice. The consistency in coaching, the consistency in playing staff. So, you know, that all those things are going to go for you. I would expect Kiefer to, as Simon has also said there, learn a lot from this season, not make radical changes to his playing roster. And there's going to be hopefully consistency in the off-ice staff as well then. So let us build again from the position we're in and take those small steps towards trying to get back to being a league championship winning team. Okay, the Challenge Cup's in the locker this season. That's absolutely fantastic. It was a prize that we wanted to win. And he set out and got silverware in his first season. So, you know, you've got to give him kudos there. But the Cardiff Devils have repeated, and it's a very hard thing to do. I think it's only been done three times since the IEHL, you know, was formed all those years ago. So
it has. Cardiff, you know, and Sheffield been the only two teams to previously do it.
You've got to tip your cap to them and say that they've done very, very well. And they've got size, they've got good goaltending, they're mobile at the back, and they've got the likes of Joey Martin up front, who, you know, would grace any team of any era in the IHL and even the ISL days, you know, an absolutely fantastic little fox in the box, knows how to score, knows how to do a little bit of everything, wins face-offs, gets dirty in the corners when he needs to. So, you know, they've got real quality right throughout their roster, and much as that sticks in the craw to say it, you know, and yeah, they're worthy champions because, in my opinion, the R-Hard Conference, where you're having to play, okay, they haven't had the greatest of seasons, but you're having to play the Nottinghams and the Sheffields and ourselves on a much more regular basis than you're playing the Edinburghs and the Manchesters of this league, you know. So from that point of view, to win it and come out of the R-Hard Conference is the hard route to take. So, you know, as I say, you tip your cap to them, they've repeated, and kudos to them.
Absolutely. Just coming back to the game, says I'll let Davey have his say with regards to the incidents towards the end. Your thoughts on the refereeing decisions toward the end of the game?
For letting, they did try and let it go. That's a positive. But for that penalty to be called when there was numerous other ones throughout the game that weren't called and you know, are obviously blatant penalties with 50 seconds to go in the game, it's got to be an absolutely nailed-on penalty. You know, Collins has definitely given an opportunity and a decision to make, and he's made the decision to give us a two-minute minor with, let's say, 50 seconds to go. And it was really disappointing. But if you look earlier in the game, John Kurtz was cross-checked from behind, not a call. End of the boards, by the way. No call. Darcy Murphy was tripped right in front of our bench. Couldn't believe there was no call. And within 15 seconds, they scored the equalising goal, make it 2-2. And what a finish from Matt Pope, by the way. Or Brent Pope, as I was calling him.
Yeah.
you know, for those two referees that, again, I mean, what we got them again on the Sunday night, they were booed off the arena on Friday. I think they were booed off on Saturday as well. I thought it was soft compared to some of the ones that did let go earlier in the game. However, Collins, as I say, has given him a decision to make, and ultimately it's a penalty. You know, it's a cross-check penalty across the chest. Put us in a really difficult position, and, you know, Hotham, you know, arguably one of the best defensemen in the league again, steps forward and slots a pass truly, which, again, he blamed himself for the whole, with a whole loss and whole weekend. I spoke to him after the game and obviously did the interview and I was out on SoundCloud. But I thought Chris Truro was outstanding that night. He really pulled off a fantastic amount of really good saves. But again, fortunately, they managed to get that winner with 20 seconds to go on. There was no way we were going to score with 20 seconds to go. And you know, they took their time out. And, you know, when they were, even after 10 seconds of making sure these guys are their top five guys that they want out there are going to be there, and it was disappointing, but hey-ho, move on, get on with it.
Sam, you know, obviously we're talking about Brendan Connolly taking the cross-checking penalty there with just about a minute to go on the clock. They get the penalty. Obviously then Collins gets an abusive official call after the final whistle. Okay, he's been out of order. That's okay, we'll take that. He's got his abusive official, and he's ended up suspended for the Saturday night game. Yeah. Now, the officials need to sometimes understand perhaps the emotion of what has just happened, that he's taken a penalty with a minute to go in a game and ended up deciding the championship on home ice, and, you know, just sometimes take some abuse, if you like. There's an element of, you know, you're in a game where emotions are high, you just sometimes you have to take it. A bit like Martinelli on Saturday night, gets a naughty hit off the play, hit to the head, in my opinion, and he says something, obviously going off the ice 30 seconds later, and we end up on the power play or in the penalty kill starting the third period. You know, I think I heard you even on the commentary saying, you know, very, very thin skinned.
You started the question, or the way you went through out there, David, is that sometimes they need to have a thicker skin. Not sometimes, they need to have a thick skin. You know, they do a difficult job. I'm not, you know, I'm not getting on their back regarding that. But, you know, as I say, Collins has basically taken it to a penalty with 50 seconds to go. He wasn't happy with the call. In my opinion, it's a penalty. You know, if it's any other game, it's a penalty all day long, especially with Hogarth or Darnell. So I'm not having to go at them that way. However, you know, he's feeling that, ultimately he's lost the game. Ultimately, you know, and he definitely would have been feeling disappointed on Friday evening. But to get a suspension, whether he's giving the F-bombs or dropping or calling them, you know, all sorts of arseholes going off the ice, it doesn't matter. They just need to go. The game's over. There's nothing to do about it now. Just get on with it. Keep your trap shut and move on. The Saturday night incident, I spoke to Ryan Martinelli about this after the game because I didn't know what he got called for. I didn't see him. You know, normally when players are irate, you know, you can see them pointing the finger, or you can see them, you know, shouting at referees. I did not see that when he was going off the ice. And we always stay online until all the players are off the ice and then, you know, finish the period and take your 12 or 14 minute break, whatever it is. I spoke to him already after the game in the dressing room, and I said, what happened? And he said, I got an elbow to the head, a blatant elbow to the head. They called a penalty. I can't even remember what it was, an interference they called it.
Yeah. The linesman called it.
He went over and
both
asked,
refs missed it.
Pardon me?
Both refs missed it. The linesman called it.
Right. Oh, that's correct. They fantastic as if it just called it. And he went over and he asked Stefan Hogarth, he said, I can't believe you only called a 3 minute penalty on that. Hoagie dismissed him, told him to go away. He said, we went and spoke to Darnell, said the same thing to Darnell, and Hoagie gave him a penalty because he was arguing. He basically turned around and said, I've just got an elbow left in the head, which should be, I mean, at the end of the day, they're there to protect the bloody players, and they failed to do it on that occasion. They failed to do it the next night when Bergeron's left his feet and hit Spiro head as well. He got 2+10, yes, but, you know, he should have been thrown out of the game. He wasn't even suspended. There was no mention of it. Did you say there was no mention of it today, Paddy?
Nope. No, I'm just looking on the Dops. There's been no mention of Dops at all yet.
You know, again, Dops is sort of starting to make some strange decisions. Obviously, it's not Lyle Seitz anymore because he was pretty even. But for me, those two referees, again, having them in the Saturday night, and then they went over and had another two games. Actually, they're refereeing tonight. 4 games in a week, they've refereed together. And I'm sure as hell they probably weren't any better tonight again. Disappointing. I thought that you know, again, when you're given a decision to make, all we're wanting to do is call the right decision. And ultimately, the most important thing of any hockey match is player safety. And Ryan Martinelli felt that they did not protect him on Friday night. They did not show any protection. And for the two of them to miss a blatant elbow in the head is bang out of order.
Let's move on to St. Patrick's Day, to the Saturday night's game at the SSE against the Five Flyers. And after a fantastic performance against the Cardiff Devils, unfortunately, with them winning, it took the last pieces of regular season silverware out of the hands of the Giants. And, well, let's say when we went into this game, you could tell it was a 5-2 win for the Fife Flyers. The Giants actually opened the scoring on the power play of Sebastian Silvestre before Charlie Mosey and Shane Stockton made it 2-1 at the end of the first to the Flyers. Peter LeBlanc made it 3-1 in the second period before Blair Riley shorthanded pulled one back to make it 3-2. 2. However, in the third period, a short-handed goal from Charlie Mosey, his second of the game, and Russ Meyer with an empty net rounded off the scoring at 5-2 and a sound win for the Fife Flyers. In nets, Jordan Marr, the backup, 43 shots, 41 saves. The other side, Chris Trull, 26 shots, 22 saves. Same referees as the night before, Tom Darnell and Stephen Hogarth, which we've talked about. Says, I'll start with you. We understand that there was nothing to play for in this game, other than if you're really worried about the seeding, about where we're going to finish, how high up, how low down, however, and the disappointment of losing and there not being anything to play for here. Yet, you're performing in front of your home fans. You really should be putting in an effort.
Not acceptable, man. Yes, the guys they looked very tired the whole night. They looked like, the night before the game against Cardiff zapped all the energy out of them. But you've still got to show a bit of passion, a bit of belief. And for me, that wasn't the case on Saturday night. You know, Fife came in with their backup goalie. We didn't work him hard enough. If you look at him, he put off a couple of saves. But at the end of the day, that's what he's paid to do. But when you fire 43 shots at him, and I'm pretty certain at least 75% of them were right into the chest, making it easy for him and made him look like one of the best goalies in the league, in fairness. But we didn't protect our goalie enough. I thought we gave up too many old man rushes. I thought that, we were trying to chase the game. Obviously, we got that shorthanded goal just as it was 4-on-4, and then we got a guy back. 4-on-4, and they got a guy back just as the puck went into the net. Mm-hmm. And that's what called shorthanded. But just thought it was a flat performance is probably the easiest way of looking at it. Our special teams, again, which we talk about an awful lot. I was down at practice today, and I'm sitting watching these guys do their power play. And wondering, looking around, going, you've got Brendan Connolly, Blair Riley, Spiro Galakos. You've got all these guys, and by the way, I'm not slotting them in order because I don't want to give away who's playing who in the power play tomorrow night. But, you've got all these highly skilled and, hockey players who individually are arguably, a number of the best players in the league. But put them in a group of five, and for whatever reason, they can't get it done. Shorthanded. Yes, I thought we played better in the shorthand against Cardiff on the Friday night. Which I think did they get one power play goal, Davey?
Yeah.
Friday night. But again, I just thought I think the easiest way of looking at the game was flat. The atmosphere in the arena was flat. There wasn't, there certainly, I think, as you said, Paddy, at the top of the question there, it was a dead rubber game. For me, it's not. You want to get those 2 points. You want to finish up that league as high as possible. Right now we're sitting where we're playing Sheffield in the playoffs. We win that game against Fife. You're arguably playing Guildford or Nottingham. Nottingham won tonight. So it would be Nottingham now, but it was Guildford on Saturday night, and they lost 2 games at the weekend. So it was disappointing. It's one of those ones to say, but you just want to try and forget about it and hopefully get a couple of days rest and come out tomorrow night against Milton Keynes and put a performance on.
Davey, is there any mitigation to say that there's nothing to play for, or is it just a case of, especially with the 3 games left to play, you still have to perform at a high level?
There's always something to play for when you put on a Belfast Giants jersey, because you're playing for your city and you're playing for the people that can't play. You're playing, you're representing me. You're representing my city. You have to put in a shift. And I think on Saturday night, we were guilty of, at times, there was individual mistakes. This happens. We made individual mistakes for goals, but we're also out hustled at times, and we'll have a couple of giveaway, shorthanded goal when you're trying to get something back on the special teams, and with a couple of little bad breaks, bit of puck luck didn't go our way. But overall, we turned the puck over easy. We gave up odd man rushes. As I say, we lost our details at time. Our gap control wasn't all that good. There was things that we did on Saturday night that are uncharacteristic of this team, so you have to give a bit of mitigation with that and say that this has happened, probably the bit of the exhale from the disappointment of Friday night, and that being, as a pro sports person, as a sports person of any kind, to see your opposition win the lot on your ice must be hard to take. you know, and that'll have had a mental effect on us. But our special teams haven't been good enough. They weren't good enough on Friday night. They weren't good enough on Saturday night. You know, we're getting plenty of looks, and we're not getting better at it. And it's just one of those things where we need our goaltenders to be our best players at times and give us an opportunity to win games. And we have to score more than 2 goals at the minute to win games. And over the course of the weekend, you know, we scored 2 goals against the Devils and we scored 2 goals against Fife, and it wasn't enough. And I suppose the biggest disappointment there for me is the way we systematically destroyed Fife in their own barn, a hard place to go, just, what, 3 or 4 days previous?
Yes.
We knocked 8 goals past Marr. We got on them quick. We got goals behind them in the first period, and we never looked back. Whereas, you know, we still outshot Fife 2-1. I don't think it was a tragic performance. I think that we had enough in that game to win the game, but the individual mistakes, the turnovers, the odd man rushes, is what lost us the game. You know, we made bad decisions, and ultimately that cost us the points, and that's a hard 2 points for me. You'll look back, Simon talked earlier, and I think it was in the Cardiff game, about, you know, how we've lost to every team in the league, but we lost crucial points, the Edinburghs, the Milton Keynes, the Guildfords, the you know, Fifes, and with the greatest respect, if you're going to win games, you've got to beat those teams. I think our special teams, for me, has been the biggest letdown of the season. You can't quantify these things, but I would say special teams have probably cost us over the course of the season 10 points. Very, very hard to quantify that, but just doing a little bit of statistical analysis, I would say it's cost us double digits in points.
Is there credit to go to Jordan Marr for his performance at the SSE, Davey? Now, I'm looking, like, obviously he takes the win there where he's faced 40-odd shots. I'm looking tonight at the game at the NIC between Fife and the Nottingham Panthers, and the shot count, I don't know how accurate this is, but the shot count says that Jordan Marr faced 40 shots and let in 2 goals, while Patrick Galbraith faced 9 shots in the whole game, 40-9 in this game at the NIC tonight. But Jordan Marr, credit for his performance at the SSE?
Credit for his performance. He faced 58 shots from us, all and off blocked, exactly that kind of thing on Saturday night. And then, you know, if you look at the previous game, 67 shots. So, you know, we've put 120 shots towards Jordan Marr's net over the 2 nights. And one night we've got 8, the other night we've got 2. You know, I think Simon touched on quality of shooting, certainly on Saturday night. Going in hard on him, going, you know, burn down on that and really trying to get those goal scoring opportunities rather than just throwing things at his chest and hoping that, you know, they go in. We weren't the Belfast Giants that we have been over the course of this season. So, you know, credit, of course, to Jordan Marr. Any goaltender that wins in this league deserves their win. You know, seldom, you know, as a young kid, he's done well. There's no doubt about that. You go to the SSE, you come away with a win. As a young guy, you faced nearly 70 shots or whatever you deserve, or sorry, on the 60 shots as it was on the Saturday night. Now, which just also, look, Paddy, I know I'm annoyed about this, but, you know, whenever you look back at the numbers that we are creating, the goal scoring opportunities, and, you know, you're creating 60 opportunities on a night, you've got to score more than 2 goals. You just have to. Yep. Numbers suggest that something's gone very, very badly wrong on that game.
I think that one of the things that we're guilty of this year is a bit of selfishness. I think guys who are maybe in better positions should be passing the puck. Yes, I understand, you know, there's guys that may be chasing points, and, you know, it's always good to get an assist, they're always good to get a goal. I understand that. But, you know, for if you're coming down the left wing, I was always taught to shoot across the goal. Like, give you a chance of a rebound coming right out front and somebody going to the net. The amount of time we are going down the left wing, whoever it may be, taking a shot at the near side post, and it's ending up out in the neutral zone. It's going over the top of the crossbar, it's ending out in the neutral zone. We've got to stop doing that. It's being selfish. It's not a good teammate. It's not a good teammate at all. You've got to give your chance of getting the shot on target. Yes, if you see a big glaring opening and you're going for that, I can understand that. But these goalies at this level are pretty good. Let's be honest. Whether it's Jordan Marr or whether it's Jackson Whistle or whether it's Ben Bounds or whoever it may be, you know, these guys are playing at this level for a reason, and they're good enough to basically stop, you know, as you said, David, 90% of the shots that they're being fired at them or 100% of his group shots being fired at them, sorry, they're stopping 90% of them. So 9 and 10 shots. That, you know, if you do that, you're on the good record. If you beat that, it's even better. But we've got to be starting to shoot across the goalie, giving the guys a chance to drive the net, get that rebound opportunity, and slot it past them that way. It's happened. You know, when we're playing well, that's what we do. But when we're not playing well, and we're literally clutching at straws, and you're just basically, you're being selfish. It's not a good team, mate. You need to get those pucks coming down the left wing, shoot across the goalie, give the guy coming centre or the guy coming right wing looking for a rebound, and slot it home. It's what you're taught when you're starting to play this game.
It's funny, on a slight tangent before we wrap this up, it's funny that the three names you mentioned there, says Jordan Maher, Jackson Whistle, Ben Bounds, you know, the three British, okay, Jackson Whistle was it, but three GB goalies, or three British goalies. Also, you throw in like a Stephen Murphy in there, of course, Thomas Murdy. Goalkeeping, regards to the GB, is in a good position right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bounds, he's backstopped his team to two league championships in a row. Jackson Whistle won the Challenge Cup this year. You know, don't forget, young Jordan McLaughlin, he's only just turned 18 in Edinburgh. He's played the last 8-10 games on his own, faced minimum 50 shots a night, and he's doing really well as well. So, yeah, there's definitely a plethora of goaltenders within British hockey. You're obviously, you could maybe qualify for Great Britain to play for them for World Championships or wherever it may be. And it's one of the positions that we're very lucky at the minute.
Davey, who was it said you'll never win the league with a British goalie?
Oh, I don't know, some fat estate agent.
It's been proven to be completely false.
The standard of British goaltending has dramatically improved over the course of the AIHL, and I suppose even to an extent now that the backups that are coming in are no mugs. You know, you've named a few of them there, says a young guy, McLaughlin in Edinburgh, Day, Gospel, all these, you know, Jordan Maher, Rusty up in Brayhead as well. You know, these guys are no mugs, and it's great to see. And the Belfast Giants obviously have got their Stephen Murphy and Jackson Whistle, and I don't know what the future for the, you know, Jahasic is, but you know, he's in there doing
The problem with Jahasic, Davey, is an import mint.
Is he right? Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem. Funny enough, I was talking about that this morning with Taff. You know, he's still turning up a training every day. Every day. Turns out there, he was out this morning again. You know, you've already got Truel, Dixon, and Stephen Murphy on the ice this morning, and Jahasic's turning up. But he's an import. That's the problem.
Did he play at Manchester?
Pass.
I thought he was playing at Phoenix. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
Oh, I don't know, mate. I really don't know.
And there's another young guy now, I don't know where he is, Tom Hovell as well. You know, he was knocking about a few years ago there as well. I don't know what the sort of problems with the EPL, whether a lot of these guys are still playing or not. I would need to look a few of them up. But, you know, the talent is there, and there seem to be getting more opportunities to play games over the last number of seasons as well. You know, it was once upon a time your backup was sort of, you'd do anything but play him, but nowadays, now it seems to be a real push on getting them as much ice time as possible, especially in these games that maybe don't mean as much towards the end of the season, where maybe playoff places are secured, you can't change where you're going to end up, or you're maybe even trying to jockey for a better position, or dare I say a worse position, or you're out of the race altogether, and you can reward these guys with some ice time. That, you know, you couldn't argue that these guys probably deserve ice time more than anybody in their organisations.
I actually read earlier on Twitter, Jordan Maher's brother Rennie, he got the goalkeeper of the year in Swindon. He was awarded it the weekend, and that's in the EPIHL or whatever you call that league below it.
NIHL.
Yeah, so you know you're 100% right. There is, you know, there is the standard of goalie, and don't forget, you play with better players, you get better. It's not rocket science. I mean, look at some of the imports that are coming into the UK now, and you know, and they're you know, they're top quality, and for this level, it you're basically on the ice 6-7 days a week, and you're up against these players. You're going to get better if you have the right application and you put yourself into it. You're definitely going to get better.
Right, well, the highlights from the games, if you want to watch them against the Cardiff Devils and the Fife Flyers, are available from Belfast Giants TV and the Belfast Giants website and on YouTube. Let's go ahead with a couple of interviews. Of course, we're going to hear in a moment from the head coach, Adam Keefe, but first, he's coming back this weekend. It's Jim Vandermeer.
joined by Jim Vandermeer after training on Tuesday morning. Jim, looking forward to getting back in the lineup tomorrow night. It's been a while since you've been out there.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. It's been, you know, close to 7 weeks now, and you know, we got to get ready for a playoff push here, so got to get a handful of games in.
It's been an up and down set of games since you've actually left the lineup itself, and obviously we all know you're a big part of the team. You know, you've been on the bench and you've been able to give your input from alongside Adam and Rob Stewart, but there's certainly nothing like playing.
Oh, definitely not. You know, you miss it sooner than you think you do, you know, especially when the team's not doing well. But, you know, we just got to get back to being consistent. You know, we got a great team here. We just got to, you know, play the right way. When we don't play the right way, you know, the results, you know, you can see what happens. But when we play good, you know, the boys look really good out there.
Three more league games left, and then the short playoff stint that we have in the EIHL. Obviously, you want to just try and get up to speed before heading into next weekend and the potential playoffs.
Yeah, you need to be. You know, it's the biggest time of year. You want to be flying out there. So you got to make sure. Like I said, three games left. Get my timing back and make sure I'm ready to go.
How are you feeling?
Good. A little tired after yesterday. I mean, most guys had the day off, but a couple of guys came out and skated with me and helped me get going.
Got some fans in the background there just chirping me.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Adam, another training session before going into the last three games of the league season. Milton Keynes tomorrow. Disappointing weekend. Obviously, you had a really good performance against Cardiff on Friday night, and then the game against Fife on Saturday, which is probably erased from your memory already.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're right. You know, it was a disappointing weekend, but I was happy with our game on Friday versus Cardiff, and then Saturday I wasn't happy with the team. Just didn't think we had enough. We ran out of gas. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't good enough. And it's important for me to remember that we've played a lot of hockey here recently, and it's no excuses, but you do have to take that on board. And it was important that we got some guys some rest over the last couple of days, because we got three games in 5 days, and we want to get playing well before playoffs, and we want to give ourselves the best possible seeding and finish as high as possible in the league standings. So it's important that we had a really good practice today, and guys are in great spirits. And I know we need to hit the ground or hit the ice running tomorrow and come out hard. And for the most part, you know, maybe our wins and losses haven't been great since the Challenge Cup, but I thought a lot of our games we've come out really well, and some of the best starts of the season that we've had. We just haven't scored on our chances every time, and maybe some good performances by goaltenders that kind of kept it to one goal. But I thought that for the most part our first periods have been great, so we do need to come out and play like that again tomorrow. And you know, if we play the right way and we buckle down, and I think that we've gotten into some bad habits have creeped back into our game since that Cardiff doubleheader, when we had that devastating loss there in overtime, and kind of, you know, and then we had a setback after that with the Edinburgh and Milton Keynes. And it's important that we get back to feeling good and playing consistently well going into the playoffs.
It looks as if you're starting to get healthy too. Jim Vandermeer back on the ice today. We missed Jonathan Ferlin last week. It's just coming at a really important time.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, you know, with eight games and 15 nights, we knew that we need to manage our roster the best we possibly can, so that we don't go into playoffs with any more injuries. And if guys that are fighting off some injuries, you know, it's important to get them some rest as well in this period. And you know, it doesn't matter what lineup we ice, we should be able to win every game possible. And that's kind of the way we've been all season long. No matter who's out of the lineup, we found a way to get it done, and there's no reason why we can't get these next three done as well. So
heading into this weekend, again, big game tomorrow against Milton Keynes. That's the rearranged fixture from the cancellation 10 days ago, or just over 10 days ago. And then this weekend against another trip to Cardiff and Dundee. And as you say, it's important just to make sure anybody who's carrying a little niggle is kept fresh for heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's about managing your lineup as best we can. I think we've done a pretty good job of that so far, and you know, we just need to keep pushing forward and get back to playing the right way and rein our discipline in a bit more. And you know, playoff hockey is that it comes down to discipline, special teams, and the team that wants it more. And we need to rein all three of those in and make sure that we're firing on all cylinders Friday.
Delighted to be joined this evening by another one of the giant guests that we've had over another week. So it's welcome back to View from the Bridge after a bit of a hiatus, Mr. Mark Garside. How are you?
Oh, not bad. How are you?
Very well, thanks. We've obviously with Simon on the line here as well there, of course. So we'll crack on. It's been a bit of a frustrating season, I'm sure, for you. Just for, I suppose, first off, how's the injury coming along?
It's getting better now. I mean, obviously, I've not played since, well, November 11th. That was the last game. I actually got surgery on it a month ago now, and it's finally starting to improve.
And you've obviously 8th season in Belfast. I think you've only about 20 games under your belt. As you say, you went down with that injury in November time. How frustrating has it been watching the team over Christmas and, I suppose, over this last sort of month where the challenge kind of fell away?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating in the fact that, you know, originally when I first went down injured, I was actually told I'd be back within sort of 8 weeks, and then things didn't develop as we would have liked. I mean, that was the most frustrating point, probably around Christmas time. It was just, there was no way it was what they had told me it was, and obviously the medical staff and stuff, they knew that as well, so we had to get it all checked out and things. But the last few weeks, obviously leading up to the Challenge Cup, you know, we went, winning the Challenge Cup was a bit of a high, you could say, as far as watching is concerned. And obviously, the last few weeks, I feel like, you know, we're just kind of dragging out the end of the season a bit towards playoffs. But I think the boys will come back and put us on something good to watch again.
I was just going to say there, we've kept you busy by doing some of the games, and you're going to call tomorrow night's game against Milton Keynes. You're obviously, you know, you seem to be enjoying that, even though, you know, it's you're too busy jumping up and down for pizzas most of the time.
It's a bit rich, isn't it?
But no, seem to be enjoying having a bit of crap on the webcast.
Yeah, it does. It's good. It's good to actually, you know, come to the rink and have an actual job to do. You know, rather than sometimes you're just watching it, you kind of, the game just kind of passes you by almost. But yeah, it's good to come in and actually, I guess, give my opinion on what's going on in the ice, maybe enlighten the fan a bit more about what's happening.
It's
always good.
Let's get your critique on the new coach then. Garce, obviously Kiefer coming in, played with him for a number of years there, and line mate with him on that very famous Heartbeat line for a number of years as well. And, you know, how do you think Kiefer's getting on now that he's kind of, well, he's stepped full time behind the bench, albeit he's had a handful of appearances?
Yeah, I mean, pretty good. Obviously, he knows it's his first season, and he said himself, you know, maybe he'll make mistakes and stuff, but it's all about learning from him. He's quite humble about it. So, you know, he's good coming at the start of the season. He went and talked to all the guys, you know, told us how he wanted us to play, and had us all ready and prepared to go. So as far as putting in the time and the effort and the application, he's been really good.
Mark, also, I mean, this year, as you've already touched on there, it's been a difficult season, you know, especially since just after Jimbo went down 7 weeks ago. We've really let quite a few goals in that maybe we shouldn't, but with him coming back into the lineup tomorrow night and a few games left for the regular season, it's all about trying to gear up for the playoffs from this point forward.
Yeah, Jim coming back will be a massive bonus for us. I mean, obviously in the previous couple of years we've been really good with him in the lineup. He's very, he's a leader back there, and we need him in, you know, pressure situations where, you know, maybe we're not getting all the play our own way, and he's there, you know, calm head, just getting pucks in, getting pucks out, playing, simplifying things. He's going to be good at coming back. Maybe tighten us up a bit before the playoffs.
And obviously you're working on the back end yourself. Well, not at the minute, obviously being out injured, but the last couple of years now from, you know, Walsh put you back on the blue line there. You've been enjoying yourself in that role.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think when Waltz came in, opportunities playing forward, sometimes there were kind of few and far between. Sometimes it kind of battled for the place in the lineup almost. And then the one game, I think I actually got a concussion that year and kind of had to work my way back into the lineup a little bit. And then one game we had four D-men in Cardiff, I think, and then one of them, I think it was Mitch, got in a fight or something. So I ended up going back and playing D, and from there on, I actually really enjoyed it. I think it was more just to kind of build up sort of confidence over time, and then the amount I was playing as well, it was enjoyable.
Do you think that it's, I mean, do you, obviously the transition going from forward to D, did you think you would pick it up so easily? Because I'd say, I mean, it looks as if you're, you know, you obviously played D at some point when you're coming through the younger age groups that were in Edinburgh.
I didn't really know how I would do, really. I just, to be honest with you, I was kind of just trying not to make mistakes to start with, and that's kind of the main job of a D-man, almost, you know, just stop the opposition, limit your mistakes, and, you know, play simple. That's kind of what Wally wanted me to do, and focusing on that probably helped me transition quite easily. I've always known I could skate, so kind of falling back on that was a bit of a help.
And we have had this season our struggles in the face-off, Dot. Something that you prided yourself on, you know, the team lacking, I suppose, a dearth of natural centremen, a lot of wingers doing the job in there and doing okay. But is that something that you've noticed? Is it something the guys practice? Is it something that you can give advice on? Or is that just something that's just a natural ability, I suppose?
It depends. Sometimes, you know, when I played centre and Doug was the coach and Paul Aday as well, he used to always tell me, you know, we need you to be winning all. That was basically a big part of my job, was winning a lot of face-offs, especially defensively and the penalty kill and stuff. So the guys that will be doing that this season, like Fairley, a lot on the penalty kill, you know, those guys will be out practicing at the end. At the end of practice, they'll be specifically doing that. And they know when they go into games that one of their main jobs will be to win those draws. As far as this season as well, obviously Dustin John is really a natural centre, and he's been injured a lot as well, so it's kind of hampered us in those kind of circumstances.
This season, it was announced there last week about the British squad being put forward for the World Championships. Obviously with yourself and Stephen Murphy down injured, there's only two Belfast Giants being selected this season, and that's something we've had a lot of spaces within that GB setup over the years. If you look around the league now, Mark, who do you think? I mean, obviously, the one I'm trying to say is we need to get younger now on the British side, because, you know, there's some guys won't be around forever. Although you wouldn't think that the Colin Shields is slowing down. He's over 60 points again this season.
Yeah.
But looking around the league, is there anybody that stands out for you that maybe as a teammate you'd be very happy getting them into Belfast?
I mean, there's obviously a couple of guys. The boy to watch tomorrow night would be sort of Lewis Hook. I spoke to Nicker, and he was saying, you know, he's got some talent, so he may be one to watch over the next few years. Obviously, Liam Kirk's doing really well for a young kid. Whether he actually stays in the UK or not, kind of, I think everybody in hockey hopes he goes and plays in an actual hockey country and see how far he can take it. But young Brits now in the league really don't get the opportunity, like me and Ben O'Connor and, you know, players like, you know, Matt Toll. There was only 10 umpires at the time. Me and Ben both played in Edinburgh in an important situation, so it allowed us, although we went, you know, we didn't always win, it gave us a chance to develop. And that's kind of been lost from our league in the last few years, so it's quite difficult to kind of pick up young players now.
That's one of the things we had a chat about in the webcast a few weeks ago. You obviously spend a year, or at least a year, in North America, have a lot of the guys who are in the league this year, or not this year, but in the last few years.
And
you think that's maybe something that young guys within who are reaching that level and want to have a professional career in hockey, you would just highly recommend them taking that step and going across the Atlantic?
Well, now without the EPL, I think really if a kid wants to go, it doesn't have to go across the Atlantic. They can obviously go play in sort of Sweden or, you know, Central Europe or something. But the difference in standard once you get to sort of 14, you know, 13, 14, it just starts in those hockey countries, because they put so much more into it. You know, they start pulling away. And if your kid stays here till 18, it's very unlikely that, it's not impossible, but it's unlikely that they're not going to be given as good a chance to develop as if you go to North America or if you go to Sweden or Finland or whatever.
What would your own thoughts be on that, Gorsh? You know, whenever the EIHL sort of first formed, however many, close on 15 years ago now, I suppose, it, as you say, with the import numbers being lower, it was more, I think, the raison d'etre of the EIHL at the time was to be a developmental league and supposed to have a bit of a feed-in from the EPL. But as the years have gone on, the product has improved, as have the Brits, but the import level is now up to 14, and there's not the same requirement for those sort of Brits to be squeezing in the squads. Is that a, you know, good thing for the product, bad thing for British hockey? You know, you converse that with GB went and got a gold medal last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of helped the guys that are already kind of secure in the teams, you know, like myself, Shieldsy, and you go around the league, there's probably 3, 4, sometimes 5 Brits on a team that are within the GB squad in those top teams, and it's actually probably helped our game for a lot of us, I would say. Because the pace of the league is now faster. 4 lines, you know, the signing guys from leagues, it was, when I first joined the league, I don't know, 10 years ago, they would never have got guys sort of out the DL or anything. Whereas now it's quite common, you know, we get, you know, every team or the top teams will have 1 or 2 guys that have had gone big resumes, you know, played in Sweden and played in Germany and whatnot. But as far as bringing on youngsters, it's tough, almost impossible for them now to break into an EIHL team, because just the level that there is underneath the EIHL, and I don't know what it's called now, the National Ice Hockey League or whatever in England, or the SNL in Scotland, it's nowhere near the Elite League standard. So it's very difficult just to chuck a kid in and expect him not to make mistakes or expect him to develop. I mean, it's a bit rabbit in the headlights almost. As far as the Elite League is concerned, it's not really, they don't own or run any of those other leagues underneath them, so it's very difficult for them to as a sort of self-interested organisation, to really care about that. They just, you know, it's a business. They have to make their business, the product, good so that people want to come and watch it. And the way that they've made the import numbers now, that they're obviously quite happy with that, with the product and the kind of growth that they've had in the last few years.
You train, well, not at the minute, obviously being out injured, but, you know, you train on a daily basis with the likes of Adam Robinson, Ross Hancock, Stevie Eccles, and these guys. You know, Stevie Eccles went across the water, absolutely yeah. Burnt it up. But does that not emphasise the gap between these junior leagues and the EHL? You say, you know, you're asking a guy like Stevie Eccles, who, as I say, did really, really well in a junior league, to come in and play on the same ice as a Jim Vandermeer or a Calvin Elfring. You know, the gap is actually staggeringly big at the minute.
Well, it's significant. It depends on what league you go and play in Canada. Like, if the kids are going over, and I'm not sure what the import rules are like, but I remember when I was there, I came back after playing midget, which is basically, I think it's under 17s or under 18s or whatever. And I couldn't play, you could either play in the major junior as an import, but they only have 2 per team, and there's an import draft, and basically, those imports were coming from, you know, hockey countries, and those guys were legit, like, a lot of them end up going and playing in the NHL. Or below that, you couldn't go play Tier 2 Junior A, because they had, basically, you had to live there, your parents had to live there. So the leagues underneath that, their ability is significantly less than sort of Tier 2 or the Major Junior. So, like, if they're playing in Junior A and they go on and play college, you've seen with the guy in Nottingham this year, Brett Pellini, he played in Guildford, probably up until the same age that I was in Paisley or whatever, you know, 13, 14, and then he left, went and played in Junior A, went and played college, and come back, and he's as good as, you know, he's as good as anybody that's from Canada or whatever that comes and plays here. So it depends on what league they go out there and play in, and obviously if they stay here, it's very difficult for them to kind of make that jump.
You played your first 4 seasons in the IHL over in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year, again, it's been another tough year for Edinburgh. They've had a lot of ups and downs. You know, I know they beat Belfast Giants twice this year, once in the league and once in the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
But, you know, they continually have problems every day. You know, after Christmas, usually, it's been a real difficult season for them, and this is no different. Do you see any way forward for them, or do you think it's maybe time for them to look for a new ownership? Or I know Scotty's done a great job over the years, but maybe look for new owners or possibly somebody else joining the league, the elite league next year?
I'm not really sure. I mean, it depends on how the kind of the elite league as a business sees them. Obviously, they're just not really. I mean, you know, a bit of pinch of salt. They've beat us twice this year, but they haven't really competed in the league at all. You know, I don't know how many points they are behind Milton Keynes, but you know, Milton Keynes is a new team to the league coming in, and they've beaten, you know, Sheffield and us, and they've taken points off teams. That's kind of where Edinburgh needs to be at. But they've been in the league for what, since 2005, 2006.
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably count 3 or 4 times they've made the playoffs, or 4 or 5 times. Like, so I don't know what the elite league thinks about that, but it's obviously a difficult situation. They aren't really competing in this league, and it's something they're going to have to look at.
I think we had Todd Kelman on last week, Carson. He was talking about the Edinburgh franchise. They're actually 30 points adrift at the bottom of the league, which is, you know, as a major gap. And Killer had said last week, you know, it's now affecting the other teams in terms of when Edinburgh come to town, you know, they're not getting the same crowd in through the door, when, you know, they're not getting numbers on a webcast. And it's affecting people's decisions on whether they're taking season tickets or not, the number of games to play against the Caps. Hence, I think that's partially part of the conference setup as well, to give less games against the lower teams, for, if you like, call them the arena teams, the ones that are generally up near the top. So it is a problem, and it must be disappointing as a Scot to see, you know, a great story franchise like Edinburgh, the Murrayfield teams, the Edinburgh teams over the years, that, you know, time is running out for them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I played there for 4 years, so I kind of hold them, you know, a little bit of affection for them still, but it's just, they haven't really gone anywhere since I left, and as far as, you know, financially or sponsorship, or, you know, obviously they play in that old barn, but it's they're in a difficult situation. Either the league has to step in and, you know, give them help, or whether that's they take a stake in the club and then, you know, push it to sponsors and stuff in Edinburgh, or, you know, they might look at just switching a franchise in and out or something. But, you know, they've obviously been in the league a long time now, and it's this season, you know, it was a couple of seasons ago they ran out of money and a couple of guys left, and that happened the first year I was there as well, actually. 3 guys left around February, and I remember playing a game against Nottingham, and it was our two lines, and our two centres were me, and I think I was either 17 or 18 at the time, and Ross Stavlish would have been 19. So and they've just gone down to Nottingham and basically done the same thing again. That's, you know, 12 years later. So really the league has to look at that and see what they can do to either help the Caps or switch them, change them out, or, you know, do something about it.
Mark, obviously your season has been blighted with injury, and it doesn't look as if you're going to get back before the end of this season. Sorry. What have you got to do to get ready for August?
Well, I'll just continue with a lot of the rehab I'm doing right now. Obviously, since I had surgery, I can actually feel it starting to improve. It was before surgery, so I had 3 months there where it was just, it improved mildly, and we thought, well, maybe it'll actually improve more, and it didn't for a month, so then I actually had the surgery. But it's going to be a lot of doing the rehab and just being patient with what I can do. And then finally, once, I'm sure, sort of beginning of the summertime, I should actually be able to sort of lift weights and things, and it should be feeling a lot better. Then I'll be, you know, back in the gym, probably with sheds, and doing a lot of fitness stuff, and probably on the ice a bit more this summer than what I normally go on, just to try and get the legs back under me.
And as for your Belfast Giants teammates, obviously the last sort of 20 games has been very, very up and down for us, and you know, picked that Challenge Cup up, absolutely great, and got to see a few dead rubbers out over the next, you know, half dozen days or so, and then it's all gearing up for the playoffs. You know, there's enough veteran leadership and enough quality in this team to really get themselves up and have a good go at the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously we know that we can't just turn it on. We have to play these 3 games. I think it's just about getting into the right habits. And Keeper was saying this morning in the room, it's just about playing with the right habits and trying to get a good intensity of play before we get into the playoffs. We don't know who we're going to get, but it is likely that it could be, you know, Sheffield or Nottingham. We're going to have to be, you know, flying going into that. Obviously, Jim Helps coming back as well, a bit of leadership on the back end.
And, Gars, we'll have to call it a day there, and thank you for your time. The last time you were on the podcast we asked you, obviously you did your line there the other week and you gave us a bit of music to play with. I think we played a bit of David Bowie Starman for you. But the last time we were on, we challenged you to pick one of your own songs, and we're going to challenge you again to play you out with one of your own songs. So name that tune.
Oh, no. I can't even remember what it's called. We'll play Moment in Time or Moments in Time.
That'll do.
That one. Been a while.
On that note, thanks very much, Mr. Mark Garshay.
Am I deluded or just blind? There's nothing special here to find, and these words aren't lying. Past can't change, now it's dead. Everything we have done has led to this moment in time. And I ask myself what I've been doing all these years. Where am I going? Why am I really here? A time where I am lost and bored. If I could change what went before, but the past hasn't changed. Shackled to the tick of clocks, this constant change, it never stops, and these past lakes rain. And I ask myself what I've been doing all these years. Where am I going? Why am I really here? Wonder what my future holds. What is beyond this crossroad? Will I ever know? I can't stay because the fear. I don't know what is beyond here. I need to go. But where will I go? 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 Where will I go?
Thanks again to Garsh, and well done. I thought it was a great interview with him. One thing I want to bring up just at this point before we move on to the Around the League section is the KOTG of Using the Bridge Player of the Season Award. Keep your eyes peeled to our Twitter account and to Facebook. We're going to put out information on how you can vote for the Player of the Season. Quite a few nominees coming for this. We'll also have our normal Player of the Month coming up in the next week or so. But Davey, the Player of the Season is the big one.
Yeah, it's something that's been awarded right since day one of the Giants. Was it Shane Johnson maybe picked
Shane
it up
Johnson
in the first season?
The first one, it was a T-shirt.
way back when it was just a T-shirt. It's a nice little award that the players have picked up. Blair Riley last year, Benny won it the year before, and you know, some good names on that, and there's some great nominations this season. You know, you look at Sylvester with nearly 40 goals, and Brendan Connolly and Darcy Murphy, Colin Shields, 60 odd points, and then you go to the back end, and you know, Martinelli near plus 40 over the course of a season. Spiro, who for me has just been lights. I have a serious man crush going on there. I wish Mark Garside had more than 20 games, because I think he'd started the season really well again. And then our goaltending has been really, really good at times. You know, Jackson Whistle's been outstanding. Murph obviously went down really early in the season, and he had to carry a lot of the load, and obviously Tree Lee coming in and doing well. And Dicko's been in there as well. Played four goaltenders this season, and you know, they've all done pretty well. And it's gonna be interesting. That is a vote we do by email, isn't it?
It's
a secret rather than the Twitter ones. Obviously the player of the month for March will be coming out in a few days as well. So a lot of voting to be done. Vote early, vote often, eh?
Yeah, says who would be your leading contenders for the player of the season?
My player of the season would be Spiro Galagos.
Yep, agreed.
When he's fit and when he's in the game mode, instead of, you know, obviously earlier in the season he was a bit losing the rag a wee bit, and obviously getting suspended. I know some people say that he got 10 flipping hits to the head and all that crap. Most of the nonsense. But Spiro's different gravy, mate. I just think he's absolutely top quality, and I hope we can hold on to him for next season. And I know he's got his view and what he wants to do, but if we can hold on to him the next season, it's definitely, we'd be better off with him than without him. He's top quality. You know, I just think he's outstanding, to be honest.
And yourself, buddy?
I'd have to agree. I think it's going to be a full house. I think Spiro Galagos has been brilliant this season. I think, considering how much maligned he was, and not just by other fans, but by us as well. You know, we got at him early in the season in regards to the penalties he was taking, the misconducts he was taking, but he sort of calmed that down, and he turned himself into one of the premier D-men, if not the premier D-men in the Elite League. You've also got to look at, like, Steve Saviano and Ran Martinelli. There have been so many top performances in the team. You know, I'm glad we've picked up at least one piece of silverware. Hopefully we'll pick up another piece of silverware, because considering the high level that some of these guys have been playing at this season, it was well deserved. But yeah, if you put my neck to the chopping block, it would be Spiro, I think, for it. But I'm going to put out the information on how you can vote for your player of the season, be it Spiro Galagos, Steve Saviano, Colin Shields, whoever you want to put your name down. It'll be done via email. Keep an eye on at AVFTB and on our Facebook page, and we'll be putting out the information on that later this week, and presenting, and hopefully being able to present it maybe the playoffs or whatever. But keep an eye on A View from the Bridge Twitter and Facebook for that. Around the league, gents, just a couple of points. First up, we can't have failed to have noticed, because I think the Elite League tweeted it out about 100 times. Omar Pasha has signed a 3-year deal with the Dundee Stars as both head coach and general manager. Davey, big fans of Pasha here, and maybe not the greatest of seasons for him. They are, I believe, they're out of the playoff hunt now, with regards to, they're just too far behind the Brayhead clan, who currently sit in eighth. But a real foundation for him to work here over the next 3 years to turn the Dundee Stars into more of a force.
Absolutely. Who doesn't love Pass? You know, like, I've genuinely never heard anyone say a bad word about the fella. You know, our formerly of this parish, Neil, the coach Russell, you know, says what a tremendous human being he is. So, you know, we'll take that. We've been out, you know, I remember the last time we went up there to Manchester and went out for lunch with him, and he regaling us with all those old hockey stories. You know, he's a lovely fella apart from anything, but, you know, we have to wish him well. 3 years, as you say, gives him a lovely foundation, gives him a little bit of security. Is it the wards up there, you know, have given that contract and said, you know, we believe in you, set something up here, we'll give you a year now, you've got another 3 years, build something, get us into those places. It has to be a small stepping stone. You know, the target for him next season has to be to progress through the Challenge Cup group and finish eighth or better. You know, that just has to be his target. He's not. I don't think they're going and saying to him, go win conferences, go win leagues. I think they'd be saying, take the small step. There's your budget. Go build what you've got to build. Get yourself good goaltending. Do what you're doing, because they've came with a lovely run since Christmas. You know, they've been a decent team. They just left themselves too much of a mountain to climb. And I think at times over the season, they've been hampered by injuries and a few suspensions here and there, and a few little problems around the club. So, you know, he's got his opportunity now. Go build your own team. Put the Omar Pasha stamp on it. You don't have to play anymore yourself, hopefully, because he, you know, with the greatest respect to him, he loves the game, but he doesn't want to have to be in that position where he has to play and coach at the same time. It's too hard at this level now. Player coaches just find it's just much, much too difficult. So, you know, Pasha's got a lot going for him up there, and we wish him every success.
Says he came in to take over a team that was predominantly put together by Mark Lefebvre. He took on the general manager role, saying he learned the general manager role from some other bloke. But the fact that they're so happy with his performance and how he's worked both on and off the ice this season, that they give him a 3-year contract, is a credit to him.
100%, man. I think it's a great signing for them. You know, you've already said, you know, we all think the world of Mike. He's a real, real top lad, and I wish him the best of luck. And obviously not against us, but I think he'll do a great job up there. I think he's a really good coach. He's always had success against us, whether he was with Hull, Manchester, or Dundee.
Yeah, always took a win.
You know, I think he's a really good coach. I think he's a really, really top lad as well. And if he can get his own recruitment and the own guys that he wants coming in for next season, you know, I'm sure he'll be at the playoffs looking around to see who's available and hopefully we'll see him there as well. But no, real, real top lad. And as I say, wish him the best of luck.
Absolutely. So say all of us. One other point, with Coventry Blaze's victory over the Guildford Flames on Sunday, that confirmed the Manchester Storm as the inaugural winners of the Patton Conference. Ran Finnerty the first coach to win two conferences, I guess, the Gardiner Conference and now the Patton Conference. Says they've been on quite a run recently, the Manchester Storm.
They have, and you know, again, they've played very well. I think it was 11 unbeaten. At one stage, and again, you know, when you're playing at you know, within your Patton group, and you've got Milton Keynes, Guildford, and Coventry, you know, it's with the greatest respect, again, you're not playing the likes of. So did you actually put up as the record there a few weeks ago against the Coventry? Davey, was it yourself put up the record that they've had against in conference and out conference teams?
Yeah.
What was the record?
I'm just going to put this to you, Davey. We did have a couple of tweets in middle of last week from a Manchester Storm fan called Danny Kelly, who said some nice things about the podcast, and we thank him for that. It's very kind of him to say some great things, but he also had a bit of umbrage and a bit of a reason. He says, I'll just read from it. As a Storm fan, just one point I'd like to pick you up on is that you keep mentioning how the conference system has helped the Storm to be where they are in the league, but stats don't actually back this up. He puts that the Storm against the Patton Conference teams have an average of 1.4 points per game. Against Urquhart Conference teams, they had 1.3 points per game, and against the Gardiner Conference, they have an average of 1.43 points per game. Pretty consistent, whoever we are playing. He just wanted to get that off his chest because it's been bugging him the last couple of weeks. Does he have a point?
Well, like, he's, you know, stats don't lie. Do you remember that old
thing?
But, you know, against Guildford, Coventry, Milton Keynes, they've got 31 points. Against Brayhead, Dundee and Edinburgh, they've got, I think it's 25 points. And against Belfast, Sheffield, Nottingham and Cardiff, they've got 17 points. So those stats don't lie either. You know, the conference system has aided them to be where they are in the league. You know, if it wasn't for the conference system, I don't know why that would balance out. You know, in Simon Kitchen's Utopia, where I think, it, what is it, three home and three away against each team, Simon?
Yep, absolutely.
You know, how that would level out. It is, the league is an unbalanced, or it's a tilted rink. The teams, you know, with the greatest respect, okay, we've lost against all these teams as well, but if you're playing Guildford, Coventry, Milton Keynes more often than not, if you're playing, you know, Brayhead, Dundee and Edinburgh more often than not, it's the same with the Fife Flyers. You know, 40 points from their conference, they've absolutely battered away. So as far as it goes, yes, his stats might be quite crack, but you know, I'll give you some counter ones there. They've only taken 17 points out of 78, you know, against the conference that I would say is the strongest conference.
I suppose if you're only playing Coventry and Milton, if you're playing Coventry and Milton Keynes, you know, what is it, 16 times a season, but only playing Belfast and Cardiff four times a season, then it takes its toll. But they are confirmed. They are confirmed in second place.
24, mate. If they're playing in conference, they're playing four home, four away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's three teams, 24 games.
Oh yeah, but I only mentioned two.
All right then. Thanks, Ben.
Because Guildford are doing pretty well, or they were doing pretty well. But yeah, they are now confirmed in second place, and congratulations to them on their Patton Conference win. We're going to fire ahead, lads, and wrap this up with just a quick chat about the three games going ahead in regards to the Milton Keynes away to Cardiff and at home in the final game of the season to Dundee. We'll play Milton Keynes on Wednesday night. This is the rearranged game from the other week. The one that was the night before the 17 days ago, and the night before the Challenge Cup final, and then on Friday we're away to the Cardiff Devils at Ice Arena Wales, and then back at home on Saturday versus Dundee Stars. How do you see these games, Davey? What do the Giants need to get out of these games? I know you'd hate talking about this and about all the cliches, but I want to frame this is the fact that these games aren't actually playing for anything, but with a run into a potential, you know, matchup against like who seeding positions or whether we want to build momentum, what exactly do we go to these games to see, and what do the team need to get out of them?
I got chirped on Twitter about saying, you know, that I hate cliches, but I love rhyming them off. So you all start with momentum. You know, we do like home games. You know, you can expect 3,000 plus there tomorrow night. Last home game of the season versus Dundee at the weekend. You know, okay, it's a Sunday, but you know you're going to have to expect 3,000-4,000 there. These people will be coming, expecting and hoping for a Belfast Giants win. We've got to try and be strong on our home ice. We've got to expect as Belfast Giants to want to win every game, to expect to win every game as a minimum. You know, okay, that's never always going to happen. You know, you strive. What is it you say? You strive for perfection, and you
strive for, if you strive for perfection, you gain excellence.
Yeah, and if you don't, you gain mediocrity, and that's not the Belfast Giants. We've got players coming back into the roster that'll want to set their stall out as well and say, look, I'm back, you know, and this is what you've missed. So there's players that are trying to get back to fitness, and there's points, there's elite league points to be won here, and positions to jostle for. See, at the minute, 2-4, 4 plus 6, do you really want to have a doubleheader against the Panthers to try and get in the short-form competition to go to the playoffs? You know, they've proven themselves that the short-form of the game is Corey Nielsen's, and Corey Nielsen's swung song is his last opportunity to win a trophy with the Nottingham Panthers is these playoffs. You know, yes, I'd love to give them a bloody nose, but no, I don't particularly want to play in the playoffs. We need to be striving to get 6 points this weekend, or, well, when I say this weekend, from tomorrow night, stroke it'll be tomorrow when you're listening to this, but Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, we have to accept that being a Belfast Giant, to say that anything less than 6 points is accepting that mediocrity.
Simon.
I would agree with that. You know, I think tomorrow night game, the rearranged one from 10 days ago, sorry, 17 days ago, you know, it's the guys, again, after Saturday night against Fife, they'll be, you know, be looking to try and put a stamp on it. It's great we've got Jim Vandermeer coming back. I know there's a couple of other bodies which I've got a few wee niggles, and Adam hasn't decided to line up yet for tomorrow night. But, you know, it's important that we finish the season strong, the regular season. Get into the playoffs. Momentum is a massive, massive thing in sport. And if you can pick up a couple of wins, obviously, you know, big game on Saturday night against Cardiff. And again, I think that, you know, they'll want to win. I think they have two home games this weekend. So again, that's their last two home games apart from the one playoff game of the season as well. So they'll want to finish in a high. They'll want to get the win in their own barn. We've had success there this year. We've won three times. And, you know, hopefully we can pick up another win. But it's all about tomorrow night. Let's get a performance tomorrow night where we can get off to a good start. That's one thing we've really had. You know, if you look at it more or less every game this since the Challenge Cup, we've started really well, more or less. You know, we've had some really good first periods. Who was it with Wild Shot? Was it 20-5 the week before last?
Brayhead, wasn't it?
You know, that was one of the best first periods I've seen all season. And then we switched off. You know, it's like coming out there and letting, you know, Brayhead to get back into it and scored three in the second period. And then pushed on and ended up, you know, winning with the empty net goal. And it's important we finish strong. You want to certainly, you know, as Davey's already pointed out, you play for the Belfast Giants, you play for this city. Adam gets it, 100% gets it. And he'll want to win. He'll want to win these three games. At the end of the day, the players don't come out to lose. And with everybody getting fit now, and the interview I did with Adam after the game on Saturday night, you know, he's looking to see who wants to play. If guys don't want to play and they don't want to, you know, maybe carrying a bit of a niggle and making excuses, do you know what? Get on the plane and go home. If you don't want to play, go home. If you do want to play, you bust your balls for the Belfast Giants. You've only got seven more games left, and then you can enjoy your season. There's too many guys on against Fife the other night who looked like they'd switched off. Season's not over yet. Three regular season, hopefully four in the playoffs, and then a nice shiny trophy come the 8th of April.
Just briefly, Dave, you know, Jim Vandermeer back in the lineup, and with the build up to what is, okay, our postseason is probably something we'll touch on a little bit more next week, but our postseason is farcical, let's be fair. It's four games maximum. But in the build up to that and bringing back a guy like Jim Vandermeer into the lineup is a real positive.
Oh, it's huge. If nothing else, you know, we had to go with 5D the other night just with, you know, Jackson Whistle obviously being out and you lose that import slot. Truly comes in the nets and, you know, we end up going 5D and that takes its toll as well. You know, Spiro took a lot of penalties. Marty's taking penalties in the game and suddenly you're down to 4D, you're down to 3D. And, you know, that you've got to factor that into the loss against the Fife as well. You know, guys, Benny having to play probably more than 30 minutes the other night. You know, you've got D-men trying to fill in when those guys are, you know, sitting for penalties as well. So it's not ideal that you're down to five bodies. It's always preferable for me anyway to have six on the back end. And, you know, a Rolls-Royce, you're bringing in a Rolls-Royce here. And Jim Vandermeer, you know, a guy who's would be on any All-Star team if he had played all season, if he's not due it anyway. You know, Sis talked earlier about Andrew Hotham and how good he is. And Hotham purred the other night. You know, he was really good in his own end, and then he comes up and scores a wonder goal at the end. We have that ability in the Spiro Goulakos, and, you know, Marty from the back end, and Rainer at times has been sensational the last number of weeks. But Vandy is our number one D-man. Well, in my opinion, I don't know, Simon might have a different opinion on that. But, you know, for me, Vandy is right up there at the top echelons with the Hothams in this league. If not, you know, personally, Belfast Giants fan, I'm going to put Vandy right at the top of the pile.
Simon?
Great. I think Vandy's just different gravy. He was on the ice this morning. It doesn't look as if he's missed a beat. It was an optional practice yesterday. He was out there and a few guys came out and I think it was 8 or 9 yesterday. He skated as well. You know, he's just top notch. I think it's like a new signing coming in here. Obviously, with only 7 potentially games left, it's just like a new signing. If he can, you know, get... you know, it's difficult to get into game shape and it's difficult to play coming off nothing to 20, 24, 25 minutes. But I think he's absolutely top notch. And one other thing I want to say, how good was Jeff Mason on Friday night?
Oh, brilliant.
Mm-hmm. He was unbelievable. You know, and I know he picked up a bit of a niggle and missed Saturday. But I thought over the last couple of weeks, he's got better and better and better. And I hope he's reconsidering for maybe looking for another season, because I thought, I mean, again, in the cup final, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
And a couple of games after that, he was, you know, he played really well. But I thought he was unbelievable on Friday night against Cardiff. And as I say, hopefully he's maybe reconsidering hanging the skates back up again and forgetting about that retirement plan.
Yeah, it's one of those says we've had this over a number of seasons now where guys have came in as the extra import. You know, Benny last season, 50. You know, Mace has played 35, 40 games. He's chipped away with a few points, you know, here and there. I think he's maybe at about 10 points for the season. But, you know, that's not his role anymore. He got an opportunity, a lovely breakaway opportunity there the other night. He gets the shot on goal. You know, he's starting as the confidence of playing more and more games. And over this, since Christmas, he's played, you know, the lion's share of the game. So, it's, as you say, Jeff Mason to be back in Belfast for another season is almost a no-brainer.
Can I just I know I was going to wrap this up, but just something that said a moment ago is just played on my mind there with regards to the optional skate, and then, you know, 8 or 9 guys turned up. Jim Vandermeer is one of them. Says, do you think that with regards to an optional skate, if one of the guys don't turn up, that the coach will question it?
No,
it's just it's purely like they don't think, you know, I'm no way suggesting commitment in regards to that, but you think, you know, running into the postseason, you throw out an optional skate, you want the guys to be working.
Look, again, optional skate means that the ice is available if they want to go on. The majority of guys turn up, they go on the bike, they go, you know, they maybe get a massage, they maybe go for a bit of kicking about and behind the, you know, when they do their warm up and stuff like that. So the majority of guys turn in. It's not as if they just go, look, I'm not even going anywhere near the rink today. The majority of guys turn in. So some of them go skating, some of them do other things. You know, some of them go into the weights room that they've got in the locker room. So, you know, it's not the matter of just not turning up on a day and taking a day off. That's not what it's about. So, you know, again, I think he said there was 8 or 9 out on Monday. And again, you can still have a bit of crack. And, you know, 8 or 9 guys on an optional skate, there's nothing too serious, but, you know, it gives you time to work on other things. They can say maybe his sharpness and his shot. And I mean, one of the things that Jim Vandermeer does is just unbelievable, is tipping the puck in front of the net. I have never, ever seen anybody as good as him. And, you know, it doesn't make a difference who's taking the shots. They'll stand there all day long and they'll put his hands in the middle of the stick, you know, leaving the butt end open and leaving the blade open, and he'll tip him down from left and right. He's, honest to God, ask any of the lads that get a chance to go down and watch it. He's different gravy. I mean, it was Taff and I were watching him. I think it was coming up to Christmas, and Marty was taking shots, and Rayner was taking shots from the other side. And out of 20 shots, he tipped 17 in. Out of 20 shots, and I said to Adam, stick him in front of the net for the power play. You know, we need him on the point. So, but another thing you'd mentioned, Davey, about, you know, guys missing games and Mace playing 30 games. For the first time, I was looking back at it, for the first time in a long time, we've only got one player that's played every single game this season.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who it is, Davey.
Well, I didn't want to say anything about it because I don't like to scud these things.
There's still 3 games left to play. Okay.
Well, there you go. He'll not miss, you know, shut up, doesn't matter.
Exactly. If he gets the Iron Man, we'll make sure there's an Iron Man award given out.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. That's okay. But again, you know, he's been brilliant as well this year, so we'll carry on.
Absolutely. Well, those 3 games, Wednesday, I did make a mistake earlier on in regards to the Carlton Dundee games, but just to clarify, Wednesday night, Milton Keynes Lightning, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. Saturday at 7 p.m. at Ice Arena Wales, you get that on Ice Time TV if you're not going over. And Dundee at home, 4 p.m. on Sunday at the SSE. That MK game tomorrow night and the game against Dundee, if you can't get down there, Sizz. And I assume you just have goalkeepers, or it's either goalkeepers or it's Mark Garside. Do you know who it's going to be?
I do know who it's going to be, but we can take our pick. I know we've got a couple of guys here missing out tomorrow night, but we've got Mark Garside. He wants to do it again, so
he's been excellent. But Ice Time TV for the game on Saturday, and of course Belfast Giants TV for the games on Wednesday or on Sunday if you can't make it down. But we encourage you to make it down and try to build these guys up for the playoffs. Any other business, gentlemen?
Are you doing it?
Yeah,
I've won.
Crack on.
Last night at the cinema, we touched on it earlier, we had a special guest come in, literally right at the start of the movie, or the showing, sorry. And I think he actually sneaked out of hospital for it. Young Dylan Cackey and his mum appeared, literally just, we're about to turn the lights out, and I see them walking in, and he's still wired up with all his tubes and the stuff he has in. And it was great to see him. I know he's been through a tough, tough time the last couple of weeks, and great to see him back at the Odyssey. And hopefully it'll not be long before he's out of that hospital and feeling tip-top again. But great to see him out of the hospital and enjoying the show that we put on.
Yeah, here. Davey?
Well, mine's kind of along the same theme because it involves Dylan, but it's more to do with, you know, you have young Ethan McLean there and Dylan over the last little while haven't had the best of news with regarding their health, and Dylan obviously missed out on the transplant there, and Ethan's got a bit of bad news about his Duchennes. But, you know, it's just a message to their mums. You know, they're always talking about these wee boys being superheroes, but these mums, you know, Glenda and Yvette are superheroes to you, and what they do day on day, and they have to deal with the heartache of waiting for a transplant or you know, waiting for good or bad news from the hospital. So, you know, a shout out to Glenda and Yvette there from us all here, and obviously, you know, you talk about Dylan there, they're having to stick him so often. I think he, you know, more pricks than Phil Taylor's dartboard lately, trying to, you know, get all those you know, cannulas into him. So, you know, we hope that we see them back in the SSE as soon as possible, and it's great to see them in every opportunity. But big shout out to their mums there, and hope they're keeping well too.
Absolutely, good shout there, boys. Right, no, there was no TFAs this week, was basically I didn't have the time to put it out there, but we'll bring that back next week. Those three games, Milton Keynes, Cardiff and Dundee, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. If you can't get down to the SSE, Belfast Giants TV is where you go, and Ice Arena Wales, that game is on Ice Time TV. Thanks to everybody who's got in contact through the week at AVFTV on Twitter, you know, Facebook. We've got our website, we've got our email. Keep an eye out for the Player of the Season award, which I'll put online in the next day or so. And Davey and Simon, thanks very much for your time.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks to Jim Vandermeer, Adam Keefe, and of course to Mark Garside. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Still you rise. Still you rise.